Our Place, episode 595.
Our Place, where anything can happen and probably will.
Hi, and welcome to Our Place with me, Steve.
Me, Angie.
How you all doing? I think we're doing all right, aren't we, Angie?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. What have we been up to?
Not an awful lot, really. No. You've done some exhibitions, haven't you? And bits like that. And you've been to people's houses to
Been
do
to
things.
Houses to do work and stuff.
Once or twice.
Yeah, done that, but...
No stays overnight, though, lately, have there?
No, nothing worthy of note. Really?
Been out a few times with your dad.
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And general daily grind.
Yeah.
I guess. The first... Well, that the first outing of... Well, of note is I suppose we went to... Round your niece's house to celebrate your dad's wedding anniversary.
That's right,
they
yeah.
still celebrate it, even though it's just dad. They do sometimes do something for it.
Yeah, we went round there, didn't
and,
we?
And had a nice drink in the garden and some barbecue, didn't we? Bits of barbecue stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, absolutely fabulous. And then something for pudding. I can't remember what I had, a bit of something or other.
Yeah, I can't remember.
We had different stuff, me and you.
It wasn't the Victoria sponge, was it?
No, that was the second party.
That was the second one, wasn't it? Yeah.
That was the second party.
Yeah.
And so that went off nice, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
We had too much to drink. You was a bit worse for wear, but...
Yes. Because I had 5 pints and I should have stopped at 4.
You weren't obviously drunk.
No.
You weren't staggering.
No.
Let's put it that way. But when we listened back to the video from the doorbell, next day, you could tell you were merry.
That's right, yeah.
On the verge of being past merry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it had been a nice day, hadn't it? A nice time.
Yeah, yeah.
We had.
Yeah.
And then last weekend, we were out.
Yeah, indeed.
Again, the same place for on the Thursday for a little celebration. Because it was Jubilee Bank Holiday weekend.
Yeah.
And there were some slightly different people there that time.
Yeah, we had about 7 of us, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time it was all household and us, but the second time it wasn't, because some of them weren't there that would normally have been there, but we had some different people instead.
Yeah, we did.
So it was quite nice, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, we came back. We were all right this time.
Yeah.
Nobody was sick, were they? Or poorly or anything?
No, nobody was sick. It was all okay.
Yeah.
That was enjoyable.
It was.
I've been continuing to train at the gym with Leanne, and I think I'm making progress. She's my personal trainer, and she's really good. And so what else has been going on, Ange?
Not a lot's been going on. Mm-hmm. Before the last recording, I'd been playing a little bit with a app a lot of you probably know. We use the iPhone called Just Press Record.
That's right, yeah.
And I was using it to record. We have got some bits, and we'll dig them out at some point. And we've got a robin that I recorded. I was just messing around with it to see what it was like on my watch to record out the garden.
Mm.
And you said the trouble is doing it with your watch isn't stereo. But my point is, my watch is always on my wrist.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So if I want to record something, that's how I do it. I actually did something Thursday, was it? I had a little bird in the garden and I made a cut up one Thursday and another one Wednesday.
Mm.
Friday, sorry. Because that's what's on my arm. That's there.
Yeah.
I've got that on me.
Yeah.
Other than when it's on charge or I've taken it off for a wash or something.
Mm.
It's on my arm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, it records in M4A, but if you use your iPhone, you can record a WAV file.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of choices, I think, on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And it's I like that. It's just another way of just doing something. Of course, it's great for taking notes as well. But it's unlimited recording. I assume it's up to memory capacity.
Yeah.
So you can record for quite long. Because I walked to the shops and back. It said unlimited.
Yeah.
And even that wasn't that big in M4A. I did an overnight recording with an iPhone to see what that was like and how well the battery would hold up. It was 80-odd%. It wasn't... What did I say? It was 60-odd or 40-odd bomb or 6. It certainly hadn't dropped a lot, had it?
Certainly held up, didn't it?
But yeah. Recording doesn't seem to take up too much battery.
No.
In fact. But I was curious to know.
Mm.
And that was from... Oh, something around 11:18 at night till just after 7:30 in the morning. It was like 5.5 gigabytes. But unlike the Olympuses and the Zooms and things like that, it doesn't chop it. They chop it into 2 gig files, don't they, as they go along, if you don't do anything to stop, don't they?
Yeah.
This isn't. This is one great huge file. It took ages to transfer it to Dropbox, I tell you.
Mm.
It took forever.
Yeah.
But I didn't. It did. It did get transferred because you wanted to see the file, see what was.
That's right. There. Yeah.
Some of the bits on there.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of stuff I've been up to.
Yeah, maybe we'll dig out the Robin and play it.
Yeah, you can dig that out on another podcast. You know what it's called. Well, you can put it on the end of here, possibly. This isn't going. But you can decide that.
Yeah, I can.
It's not. This isn't going to be very long unless we get into some serious discussions.
Well, no, I don't think it'll be that long. I haven't got a lot to say this time. We're just catching up, really.
Yes, we're catching up, but we can discuss things like things.
We didn't do last week because it was the Jubilee
Bank
weekend.
Holiday. We decided we won't do it. We wouldn't do it.
So we're trying to do it at the beginning of each month, at least.
And usually something gets in the way lately.
Yeah, but...
But yes, never mind. It's,
we shall be back to...
Oh, and we saw your Auntie Maureen the week before last, didn't we, as well?
Yep, we did.
She just popped in to bring some things for us.
Yeah, we did.
She didn't stay very long, though, because she had to take a friend somewhere.
That's right.
A friend or relative, I'm not sure which, but she had to take her somewhere anyway.
Yeah.
So that was nice. So, yes, it's been quite normal. We've been just... moseying along, you know, quite normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, with life.
Yeah. Well, I remember it. Don't forget, if you come into Site Village on the 27th and 28th of June, I think it is, come and see us because we'll have a new Daisy player for you, won't we, Ange?
Oh, yes.
We'll have the E12.
In fact, you can demo that on the next podcast.
I will do that. The E12, which is a somewhat different player. It's the first Daisy player I know to have an FM radio with an antenna, a proper telescopic aerial, so you don't have to put headphones in to use the radio, which is good. And it's a fully talking FM radio, isn't it, Ange?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really good. And it works on Wi-Fi, 5G Wi-Fi as well. That's got to be a first, I think, in Daisy players, I think, hasn't it? Well, that and the E10.
Yes.
Because I know the Stream and the Trex don't work on 5G Wi-Fi. So, and 5G is faster. So that's a good thing as well. And it is really fast. It really streamed radio fast, didn't it? And started playing it really fast.
Yes.
It's a good Daisy player. The only downside is it doesn't do audible, just like the E10. But for those who know the Evo E10, it's a little bit bigger than the E10. And it's got several other buttons, including a number pad on it. And... the number pad makes it really efficient. For example, you can press number 8 by default. You can change this, but you can press number 8 by default from the main startup screen, and you're immediately playing your talking book wherever you are. That's really neat, isn't it?
It is.
Zero turns on and off Wi-Fi, and I think 1 gives you the time, 2 gives you the date, and they've set up various hotkeys to do things like that. And you can change every single hotkey. But I'll demonstrate that to you in the next podcast. We'll do the E12. Remind me, Ange, because you know what I'm like.
Do we have a price for it yet? In case somebody actually...
Not yet. I need to work out all of the logistics, the shipping that they've charged me for it and things like that. It won't be expensive. It'll be probably about the price of the E10, around $299, I would think. 16 gig of memory on it as well, so that's not too shabby either. And an SD card for expansion.
I'd have thought you might be a bit more expensive than that, though, because it's a bit bigger. I'd have thought it would have been more expensive with the aerial in it as well, the FM aerial and all that in it?
It might be, but...
you know, with the extra feature bits in it.
It might be, but we'll see. Obviously, I'll try and keep it as customer-friendly a price as I can. But once we've fully worked out the price and we've got it up on the website, then I'll announce that. And I'll announce that hopefully on the next podcast. But come and see us at Site Village and you can get your hands on it, feel it, even take it away if you want to buy it, because hopefully we'll have the price by then.
That's right.
And we've got some in stock now. So we're just getting ready to launch the sale of it.
Now, you could get it into a trouser pocket, couldn't
you? Yes, yes.
But it's quite bulky, though, isn't it?
It's bigger, yes.
It's more handheld than pocket.
But it's stereo speakers as well, remember that.
Just so that people don't think it's tiny.
No, it's not.
Or anything like that. It's a more handheld device.
Yes, yeah. And you hold it with both hands, so it's kind of hold it landscape. And so, yeah. But an all-round good device, I think.
Yes.
We haven't plugged it into the mixer yet, but certainly the output from the speakers is very good, isn't it, Ange?
It is.
And I don't suspect that the headphones will be any disappointment, because the E10's headphone output is very good, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I shall demonstrate that next time and talk about it a bit more. But come to see us at Site Village and you can get your hands on it and talk about it with me. Anything else while I remember it? Well, that's about it, really, for me.
That's about it, but we can have a little discussion. I'm not sure if anybody would join in it. And we've often talked about signature... Well, we haven't on the podcast, but people talk about signature sound of various gadgets, don't they? They say Sonos has one, and Cambridge Audio they have a signature sound, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not too keen on Sonos's, are you?
No.
Overly keen.
A lot of people love Sonos. I find Sonos a bit boomy. They tend to be a bit bass heavy. And if you roll the bass back, then the bass gets a bit weak. So
I must admit, I've never tried rolling
bass back. There's no middle ground for me. I find Sonos a little bit boomy.
I thought you thought the Roam was all right.
Yeah, that's not too bad. But obviously... that's limited by its size.
Yes.
So it can't be too boomy.
No.
But it does have fairly deep bass, so that's pretty good. That's one of the better speakers, but the Play 5 was a bit boomy, I found.
Oh, I didn't think that was. See, I didn't think that was boomy. The only thing I thought about the Play 5 is that the treble wasn't as smooth as... That could be the... encoders in there.
As the Blue Sound
as
stuff.
As the Flex, which was a cheaper speaker.
Yeah.
Now, I couldn't compare it with the Pulse 2 because the Pulse 2 went in the place of the Play 5, by which time we'd got rid of the Play 5, didn't we?
Yeah.
I didn't find that boomy, and also when we went to listen to the demos, I thought it was a more open sound than we looked at the Play 1 first. This was years back, of course.
Mm.
It's now been superseded by the 5.
But I think the Move is a bit boomy for me.
You think it's boomy? I think they're aiming it at, well, I don't know, parties. But I find it, I like the Move. Mm. In that you do hear a lot out of it. I think I like the Roam better for its flatness. I think the Roam is,
yes,
in a way preferable. But I'm not sure, though, you get the detail. But the reason I've come to this is I did mention a long while ago about sound bars and how do people put them and have they managed to, how are people using them and that. Nobody that listened to this obviously are or didn't want to make a recording. I'm assuming probably not many of you are, but this was quite a long while ago. But we're looking at them again, aren't we, for the bedroom?
Well, we are on and off again.
We're looking again. Because we've got a small space.
Yeah.
And we heard a demo of the new Sonos Ray, or Ray, or whatever you want to pronounce it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is smaller and will fit a slightly smaller space. And from the review, you didn't like it, but I said the trouble is this, or you weren't as keen. You said the treble was good, which it was.
The treble's excellent.
But the trouble is, when you get a review like that, it's recorded... They use binaural mics. I found that out. They do that.
Yeah.
But you've got some echo of your room.
I appreciate that completely.
And also, I don't know what it can't have been just the film trailer because the music had the same echo.
To be honest, though, I am a little bit put off by what Hi-Fi...
Yes, who said
there was a buzz in the bass.
A buzzing bass. Certain things they heard.
And if they can hear that, I'd probably hear it because my hearing is still super for my age.
I couldn't hear anything untoward on the review.
And I think it's designed to be cheap. It's designed to be affordable, probably because of the times that we're in as well. But it's designed to be cheap. And so, I mean, the proof of that is there's no HDMI socket. There's only optical.
You say that, but we've seen a cheaper one with an HDMI
socket. We have, yes, that's true. So we don't know why they didn't put an HDMI socket in it.
But I listened to a review of Sonos's 3 sound bars. Now, I don't know the order they were doing it in, unfortunately, because not being able to see the video. And there was a bit of difference, but one of them sounded more different than the other two. So listening to it like that, I thought, I'm not getting a very good sound. I'm not getting a very good comparison, which is no one's fault, because it's only limited what you can do over a video on YouTube and, you know, with mics, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, it's not the best. I had several listens as well with headphones on.
Yeah.
And I cut out all those noise-cancelling ones. I cut out as much surrounding as I could. But I couldn't tell which was which from that review.
Did they not tell you which was which?
No, they probably did visually. Because it's a video. It's not made for the blind, of course, you see. It's a company that sell products.
Yeah.
That do a lot of videos about the product.
Yeah.
And things like that. So... And I quite like their videos, so I subscribed to the channel. You did as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
They're talking about doing a giveaway of the Ray at some point.
You have an email.
But anyway, that's irrelevant. But
Sorry about all the emails coming in. I think we're getting a lot of emails.
Well, you are for a Saturday.
For a Saturday, yeah.
So, yeah, has anybody got favourite sounding gadgets they like? For my living room, I like what I've got. The least likeable, I have to say, and I wouldn't have bought one, was the Sonos port.
Yeah, it's a bit thin, isn't it?
It's thinner. It's okay.
It's the opposite to the rest of me and Boomy.
It is. I would rather the Boomy, probably.
Hmm. Yeah.
Maybe. It's a clean sound, but it's a thin sound, yes. Although it's better with our new amplifier, isn't it?
Because we're using the amp's DAC, does improve it a bit.
Streamer's DAC, I can't remember which one or the other.
Yeah, it's a streamer, isn't it?
I think we've had to put it through the Cambridge Audio. Yeah. Now, for my living room, yes, the best I can get for my main listening, and I think even that the Cambridge Audio Stream is even better than the Blue Sound Vault 2.
So do I. I agree with you.
I'd have to do a direct comparison.
I do agree with you because there seems to be even more detail.
But for our own music, we have to listen through the Vault 2, really, because you've got it all on the hard disk and that. It's easier to have the...
Yeah, because it's a CD ripper as well, for those that don't know.
Which is fine, because it is very, very good.
Yeah.
But this is even better, I think. Is even a nicer sound.
Yeah.
There's not that much in it.
No, but
there's
a slight...
Well, the Vault 2 is very expensive, but actually, though, isn't it?
Yes, but I think the codecs... The DACs in the Cambridge Audio are better.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, even better.
So, for personal... If I was... This is my absolute personal preference. Were I listening to, say... Cobus, which is what you can get the highest out of. You get a minimum of CD sound.
Yeah.
And the streamer gets that, the Cambridge Audio, doesn't it? It does get Cobus. That's how I would listen if I was sitting just listening from my own choice through that.
Yeah.
That would be my first choice in my living room.
Yeah.
If I want things all around the house, or, of course, if I want Sonos Radio, well, I love Sonos Radio. I didn't know that I would, but I got the Roam and I sort of found it, dug into it, and love it. And so that, of course, then I have to use a Sonos anyway, obviously. quite often it's the move or the roam, depending if I'm upstairs or downstairs. And I wondered if a Sonos soundbar would give me the radio it better sounding than the port, even though it's through smaller speakers. But I don't know that, obviously, and can't prove it.
I don't think so, because the speakers have better tonal balance. So the speakers help it a bit. You know, our speakers down here.
Yeah, but because the ports, well, it is what it is. Mm. I mean, the review wasn't very good, was it?
No.
Although they didn't give it a star rating. I suppose they can't for say because people put it to different, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. They didn't, though, as far as I could see.
Well, because it's got no means of making its own sound. It has to be connected to something, doesn't it? So it must depend, you know, a lot on the DAC that you plug it into.
And I was using it last Christmas, I have to say, sitting it, because I was here on my own a couple of nights. No, one night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I was actually listening to that while I was talking to you, some Christmas music.
Yeah.
On Sonos Radio, because they had all these Christmas channels, which were really nice and stuff. Yeah. And you know, I thought yes, it could be interesting, but we also found another soundbar that we think will fit our shelf better, the space better.
I don't really think that's a soundbar as such, is it? It's just a streamer with speakers in it.
Well, they could put it under the best soundbar thing, don't they?
What, you mean the Roku?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called a stream bar, isn't it?
Yeah, stream bar.
So it does have a sound bar. It's very small.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, your dad's wasn't not very big, was it, that we bought him many years ago? Because they were given this telly that was so tinny you couldn't really get anything out of it. And we put that on it and it was much better.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was a very cheap, it was like...
So we're just talking about upgrading sound in the bedroom, but really.
We just talked about the telly and it was all his fault last year. And I went researching with no real interest other than research. I looked at tellies, and to get a decent telly, it was like, £1,000 or more? And I thought, no. And then there were bigger screens. Like, you've got to get it in that corner where we've got it along a wall. Now you've got a window in the way, and you've got the next wall that curves around to the back of the bed in the way. You're limited, the space that I've got. So you're not putting something big in there. And am I really paying £1,000 for a telly that I'd make you, you'd have to be watching all your telly up there, all of it, if I'm going to do that. So that was a definite no-no. And then we'd have to get them all set up we'd have to set them all up, which is all right. You can do all that. You know, they don't have to talk to you, but they didn't. Our both tellies do speak.
Yeah.
It's not essential, I don't think, for us, because we don't use Freeview.
No.
But,
because we control everything mainly through the HDMI sockets,
yes,
don't we?
Yes, we do. So that was out. So then I looked at soundbar. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was a lovely distraction at the time I needed one as well. And I enjoyed it. I thought, this looks interesting, you know, some of these. And I found some Sonos ones, and I found some other ones, and I thought, well, Sonos, we know we can control. It's perfectly accessible. There's nothing you can't control with it.
No, that's right. There is that to it.
But they are the more expensive and bigger. But I looked at them. I think it was about six, was it? I looked at that looked quite reasonable. Different makes. And then we left it at that, and then we were discussing it more recently when the Ray came out, and it's got us looking again.
Yeah.
So we're not... The Roku stream bar sounds quite good because it casts, didn't you say it has Chromecast?
Yeah, Google Assistant, Amazon, A-Lady, as I call her, Alexa thing. Yeah, it has all that.
So you could do quite a bit more with it.
Yeah.
By the look of it.
Yeah. And some Roku's talk. I don't know whether that one does, but it probably does.
Mm.
I shall probably download a user guide for it to see if it does talk.
Not that essential, because once we've set it up, hopefully.
I agree, but if it does talk, we might as well turn it on.
I agree.
See what we can get out of it.
I do agree.
You know, yeah.
I would like to think I can use as much of a thing as possible, though, rather than to be too dependent on, because if something goes wrong, then you need someone to help you again, don't you?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's where we are. I'm curious as to know do you think of your bedroom stuff as I do as secondary, so I don't have to have it as important?
And Derry, if you're listening to the podcast,
which I don't know if he does,
I don't know if he does or not, give us a demo of your Ray in your living room, because we'll know what it sounds like because we'll hear you talking first.
Yeah.
So we'll hear the acoustics of the room, so we can. I'll be interested in a demo of your Ray, if that's possible, when you get it.
Well, he did a nice demo of the Rome, didn't he?
He did a good demo of the Rome. Yeah. If he's not listening, I'll reach out by email to see if
he'll once he's got it, because it's...
A demo, we'll reach out by Twitter, can't we?
He's ordered it, it's on the way. So,
yeah.
So,
and anyone else has got any other sound bars?
Oh, let's hear
them.
Let's hear about your speaker systems. What do you have in your living room?
Yeah.
What do you consider, that how much would you pay for secondary sound? I was under £500, I decided, for a bedroom.
Oh, I'd pay more than that, personally, for better sound.
I would only do it if I could get more out of it sound, than just TV.
Sound is my thing, so...
Yes, but we're only listening to TV, like, on Saturday morning.
I know, I agree, but,
I'd make you listen to more.
I want good sound all over the house. You know, yeah. Listen to more ain't a problem. But anyway, yeah.
Well, the stream bar's a nice price, isn't it?
Let's see what you'll think. Anyway, stream bar's a good price to try. It's only £99, I think.
And yes, secondary device.
Yeah, yeah.
That looks like it might do quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I'd have to look at all the reviews again that I looked at.
There's a job for you.
Yeah, yes, you've finished. Well, you've got to do it as well. It's your
I've already looked at the review of it.
You're more fussy. No, not just that. The others as well.
Mm.
You're more fussy than me. The other thing, I will use a gadget to exploit what I want to do. Like, I like Sonos's portal to other services. It's got probably the most music services out
there. Yes, it has, yeah. I won't argue with
it's
that.
It's like a huge jukebox of stuff, so I'll forgive it some of its...
limitations.
Its limitations on sound, maybe.
Mm.
And I don't find them so dreadful that, as I say, the port is the weakest link in my view.
Yeah.
I haven't heard the 5, but it's not going to be any worse than the Play 5, and I always liked the 5.
Mm.
But then when I got the Blue Sound, I thought, but that's better still. So I replaced it.
Yeah.
And it ultimately depends what you want, and at one time in your life you want something different to another time, I suppose.
Yeah.
And if you space constraints, if you move, you need something else, and everything, isn't it? It's all what we need to do.
Yeah.
But where possible, we should do what we want, what we'd like, especially in our living rooms. Like, you'd like to do it everywhere. Well, as you say, you can't make it as good as your living room.
No, I can't.
It's...
Because of space.
The telly isn't even in front of us when we're in bed. It's to the side.
Yeah.
So you're not, you're not going to put an amplifier and 2 speakers on the walls up there, which is going to be your best way of doing that. And then then plug in your telly in, of course.
That's right.
Which is like really how we're listening down here.
Mm.
We've got access to a whole media centre, like all sorts down here, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really all I've got to say on anything, really.
Yeah. So, I don't think there's anything. Thank you for that, Ange. That was quite an interesting little diversion into the podcast.
And it's interesting, you see, if you want to do more, you've got to look then at the more expensive stuff yourself and then give me the notes.
It's given me a good title for the podcast, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. You'll have to find out. Find out when I put it up.
Because I'm interested in what you come up with for the bedroom from your point of view, because you haven't yet.
No. No.
Except, you've looked at what I looked at, and I quite liked the look of that one. I thought,
Oh, there is one other thing I wanted to say on the podcast. For those that are using fitness apps, like MyFitnessPal, or I used Lose It to try and lose weight or tone up or whatever, be aware that there's so much data in those fitness apps that is inaccurate. Right. So what I mean by that is people don't put in the sugar amounts, the salt amounts, the protein amounts, all of the nutrients. They just put in the calories. Some people are lazy and they just put in the calories, and other people put in everything but get it wrong because they don't read the nutrition tables properly. And I've had a real battle with this. You know, I've had differences of hundreds of calories. The latest example is I had a Cornish pasty the other day, and somebody put it in to lose it as 400 calories. What I found eventually was I found a barcode, and I actually put the barcode into my fitness app. No, I didn't. I didn't do that. What I did was I put the... I went onto the Morrison's website where we bought it, and I looked up all the nutritional tables, and it gave it per 100 grams. So I set it to 100 grams, and I put it into my fitness app, all the correct details. And it turned out that the whole weight of the thing is 227 grams, right? And the calories was 570. That's a big difference.
Which I believe is more accurate because you've got potatoes.
I agree. I totally agree.
You've got all the pastry and it's quite a size.
That's a big difference to 400 calories in accuracy. And, you know, I was a bit appalled by this because if for people who are trying to lose weight, be on diets, unless they do everything with barcodes, then, they're not getting accurate data, even though some of it says verified, and it's not really, you know.
Is it not? Why no, did you say it?
Some of the verified data, I believe it's only verified by Lose It. But where they got that verification, I don't know, and I've asked them that.
But you did say some of the nutrients and stuff is hard to put in, like the McCain's chips, the way it was written. I think people don't understand how to do it. And also, people who don't pay, who use the free versions, can't put all the nutrients in.
So I've now hopefully found a solution. And it does mean that I've got to use my Fitness Pal again. Because my Fitness Pal is the only fitness app I know that will let you put in the barcode number directly, even if you can't read the barcode. So what you can do then is to look up on the web, on the internet, you can reverse look up. So you can type in a product and it will give you the barcode number. So the website to do that is ean-search.org. That's the best one for the UK I found. And I shall put that in the show notes. And basically what that lets you do is to type in, for example, cooked beetroot or porridge to go or whatever you want to type in, and it will come back with the barcode of that exact item. And what I've done is I've put those barcodes into my Fitness Pal, and it has automatically figured out all the calories and everything else. And we know it's correct because that's correct from the barcode. It's the manufacturer's barcode. It's called the EAN number. And there's various UPC numbers is another one. And you can put that into my Fitness Pal and it will come up with the exact nutritional data. I think that's going to help me out a lot because I think even though I've lost quite a bit of weight, I've actually lost 2 stone in about 3 years or 2 stone since 2016. So in 5 years. So I'm going slowly, but I'm losing quite a bit of weight. I haven't had accurate data to know, how much sugar, how much fat, how much whatever I'm having. Some people just use calorie counters. And my personal trainer actually said to me, if you just count calories, there's really no point in it. You know, you've got to know about the rest of the nutrients to get the best out of food. And we found out that a lot of the breakfasts we're having, because we have these cereal bars, are too high in sugar. So they take up almost all of your daily sugar intake. What I also do like about my Fitness Pal, I have to say, is it does tell you if a food is particularly high in, for example, saturated fats when you enter it. So Lose It doesn't do that. It just takes the information. So I think I'm going to go back to my Fitness Pal. I've only gone back to it yesterday and today to see. And I'm actually going to type in barcodes, you know, the numbers where I can find them, so I get the correct nutrients. And you have to get My Fitness Pal Premium to get the full nutrient values and things like that.
This is why a lot of it isn't in.
The other thing about My Fitness Pal is because Debbie's using it now, and she's let me share her information as a friend, because you can do social sharing as friends, and you can go into someone's diary and copy their food into your diary. And because when Debbie and I are away, it means that I, because Debbie scans a lot of stuff, she can just look at the barcode and scan it. It means that I can copy her data in and, you know that it's going to be fairly accurate. So I just wondered if any of you use any fitness apps, and if so, what fitness apps do you use and what do you like, and how do you make sure that the data you're entering is accurate? There are apps like NutriCheck, but on Android it's not accessible. I wish it was, because NutriCheck only allows you to enter official data. It doesn't let the community share their own data, because I think there's a big danger in this, because the community tends to put in a lot of wrong data. So that's what the best I've got so far is MyFitnessPal and actually looking up barcodes or asking Debbie to scan them. You can't type the barcode manually into Lose It. I've asked them for this feature. If they'll put it in, then I'll go back to Lose It, because I like the interface of Lose It better. But so far, I think that MyFitnessPal is going to do everything I want it to do in that regard, because I can put in barcodes and not rely on what the community puts in. Anyway, that was going to be my little bit of discussion for the podcast. I think that's it from me.
Yes, I think that's about it.
So I'm going to remind you, it's our place at comproom.co.uk. Please don't write to Steve at comproom.co.uk with our place stuff, because you'll get delayed answers, because it will get caught in the work email and everything else. So please write to our place at comproom.co.uk, or go to www.ourplace-podcast.info. And on there, there's a contact form where you can contact us as well. And if you want to share a Dropbox folder so you can drop in sound files and things like that, let me know and we can arrange that too. Anyway, with that, I'm going to say cheerio for now. What about you?
Bye from me.
Where were you? Where
I
were you?
I was here.
You were a bit miles away.
I was
you?
Here.
You was miles away there, weren't you? So bye from us both. And of course, we will see you next time.